This week's mailbag comes to us from Shelley. Dear Lisa, I have a Sunday basket success. Back in February of 2021, my son went to get his driver's permit. While we were there, I paid $85 for his license. Fast forward to March of 2022. He is finally ready to take his driving test. The driving school asked me to pay the registry of motor vehicles. When I logged into his RMV account, it shows no fee. I panic. Did I pay this already? How can I figure this out? After poking around on the website for a few minutes, I decide I better check my Bryce folder in my Sunday basket. There is the receipt from February of 2021 that shows that I had already paid. I had put it in there knowing that it was an unfinished project. Yay for the Sunday basket. What a relief.
Do you have an Organized 365 success story? If so, we would love to hear about it. Please send us an email at customerservice@organized365 and tell us how you have taken back your home, your paper, and your life with Organized 365.
Welcome to the Organized 365 podcast. I'm your host, professional organizer, productivity expert, and motivational speaker, Lisa Woodruff. This podcast will help you embrace progress over perfection and create lasting functional organizing in your home. I have so much to share with you, so let's get started. Our next area that we are going to tackle, both in reporting the research and establishing organization in our home, is going to be organizing your storage spaces. So we've already talked about how we as Americans and humans have Swiss cheese organizing. We have a little bit of organizing here and a little bit of organizing there, but no category is like 100% done. The storage spaces are not the easiest, but once you set your mind to it and your mindset to it and you learn the skill of organizing enough to understand how to marry like with like objects, label them, and then go back to that same location for those items. Once you get your storage space organized correctly, it actually can be maintained for the rest of your life. I know, it almost sounds like blasphemy. What? You keep telling us, Lisa, that organization changes as you go through different phases and stages of your life, and there needs to be continual maintenance, and you will need to make continual maintenance in your storage spaces. But for the most part, especially in like your offsite storage, attic, or basement storage, once you really get the right system in place, and the right system in place has enough organization that you know where to find things, but not so much organization that it takes you a long time to maintain it, it really will be organized for decades and decades and decades and decades. So let's start back at the beginning. The first space that I told you to organize, or we really dove into, was our own personal organization. It will follow us our entire lives. We are 100% in control of it if it's done, if it's not done, for the most part, if it maintains organization, which is your closet, where you get ready in the morning, your side of the bedroom, your purse, backpack, or wallet, or your car. Once you really have the mindset of like, you know what? It is my responsibility and I am in control of how organized I am or I'm not. And I can easily influence that and no one else is in charge of it other than me, aka hashtag adulting, you can become personally organized. And yeah, you're going to get disorganized and you'll go through different seasons and different body shapes and different energy levels, but you know that you are ultimately responsible for your clothing, your hygiene, your sleeping, your traveling, and only you are in charge of that. Next, we move on to the family and communal spaces, which do change all the time. So you need to have good enough systems like in your kitchen and in your drop zone areas so that you aren't wasting a lot of time looking for things, but you're never going to get to 100% perfect because kids and jobs and spouses and passions are going to constantly be flowing in and out of those spaces. So done is better than perfect, and good enough needs to be your motto when you're organizing the family and communal spaces, which is everything that's on the first floor of a two-story house. Now we're moving on into two kind of hidden areas of organization, the first of which is going to be storage, and then next week we'll talk about paper. So storage spaces are sometimes hidden. And why I say sometimes hidden is because if your garage door is open, you know it's not hidden, although you may want that to be hidden sometimes. I don't prefer my garage door to be open, not because I'm worried about burglars, because my garage pretty much always looks disorganized. Are you surprised? Like, it just does. The garage is the pass-through from the house to your car, and you literally drop stuff there that is on the way in or out of the house because, I don't know, you ran out of time, you're too lazy, you don't know where to put it once it gets in the house, or you don't know where to put it until it actually finishes leaving the house. So we put it in the garage. And for me, there's a counter inside of my laundry room that is an extension of the garage. There's always stuff on this counter, like always stuff on this counter. Maybe three times a year there's not. On a Saturday afternoon after I'm like, you know, there's not going to be anything left on the laundry room counter. And then Tuesday, something piles up there, like always. So I'm recording this a couple weeks after Easter and Grayson's Easter basket is on the laundry room counter because, I don't know, didn't have enough time, didn't have enough energy, too lazy to take it downstairs where it goes. Yes, we didn't have that Easter basket before, but I know where Easter stuff goes and there's a spot for his basket to go in, but it's not there. It's in the laundry room. The laundry room and the garage, if you live in a traditional American house with a yard, is where you're going to drop things that are in process. They're in process on the way in to your house to go wherever they're going to go. They're in process on the way out to be returned, to be mended, to be donated, to be given to someone else. Like, we have tires in our garage for a year waiting for Joey to actually get a condo that we own that has a garage so we can move his tires to that garage because he loves to do things with his car. And so they've been sitting in our garage. We cannot wait to move those things. He's been in his new condo for a couple of weeks. We just haven't taken the time to get them over there yet. And so your storage spaces tend to get out of control because you would just rather take a nap or watch Netflix or, I don't know, play with the baby than put every single thing away. And I just want to say, that's okay. That's what these spaces are designed for. We don't live in museums. It's not all going to get done. I'm itching right now to get my garage cleaned out, but I'm getting ready to go on this 9-day trip to Baltimore and back. And then it's going to be Greg's birthday and Mother's Day. So it's probably going to be 3 weeks from now before I actually get my garage cleaned out. And when I do, the tires will make it over to Joey's place and all these other random things that I'm thinking about that I've put in my garage that need to go somewhere will actually get put away. So that's the first reason why any storage space gets disorganized, is because the things in that storage space either do not have a place to go, or you haven't decided what you're doing with them yet, or they're in transit. The other kind of storage spaces that you have would be really hidden storage areas, like an attic, a shed, a basement, offsite storage, or overflow from overwhelm storage areas, which would be a spare bedroom, a section of your bedroom, or in some cases, every idle space in the entire house. No judgment. It's life. 10 years ago, when I started to organize 365, when I was the most disorganized I'd been in my entire life, there was not a single area in my house that did not have some randomness in it. Like, there was no area in my house where I was like, well, this is organized, so this is where we're going to start. This is the plumb line. We'll maintain this and we'll move forward. No. Every single thing was disorganized. My closet, my bathroom, my bedroom, all the communal spaces, all the storage spaces, all of them. Not only that, they weren't just disorganized. They had like stuff we didn't need and stuff we needed that I couldn't find. And it was just horrible. It was panic inducing. It was depressing. It was overwhelming. It was all of those words. When your entire house becomes like your storage room, that's when you know that you are drowning. You are drowning in the pace of life, in the overwhelm of your situation. Your outer world is reflecting your inner world that has probably been in chaos for a significant period of time. We can live for quite a long time, 6 months, a year, where we are feeling very frazzled and like we're running a marathon inside of our body, but we actually keep it together on the outside. And so people will look, especially at our family and communal spaces, and they'll be like, oh, you look like you're doing just fine. And they're like, yeah, but I have no clean underwear and I don't even know where the Christmas tree is, which is a big item. You know what I mean? And you're like, yeah, this first floor of my house looks great. But if you step on one stair to go upstairs or downstairs, like it's all going to come crashing down. And once you get to the point where your entire house, including the family and communal spaces, look like a storage room, you just feel like you don't know where to start. And what's the point? And how long is this going to take, right? I will say the first time I organized my house back in 2012, I started in the kitchen and then I went into my personal spaces exactly the same order that I have in the Legacy 100-Day Home Organization Program. And I'm going to start calling it the Legacy 100-Day Home Organization Program because when you buy the Productive Home Solution, you can run through the 100-Day Program as it was originally created. It will be in the dashboard at the bottom, but we're going to start organizing these more based on this new research. So you can do it either way, in little chunks, or you could do the 100-Day Program as it originally was. And so what I did was I went through the kitchen. And when I went through the kitchen, first of all, I found all kinds of things I didn't know I had that I needed. And second of all, I had all kinds of things that I hadn't needed for like 5 to 10 years, but I still owned, like sippy cups and just crazy stuff. My kids were in middle school, for crying out loud. So as I decluttered what I didn't need, there were all these things I found that I need or would have needed in the past, but I wasn't sure that I still needed it yet. You know what I mean? Like, we had no money, so why would I get rid of things that we might need? Because then I wouldn't be able to buy them again. But I also knew that I couldn't just keep them in the kitchen, because if I just kept them in the kitchen, then I wouldn't get the reduced overwhelm feeling. I would just have everything really organized. I needed to get the things out of the kitchen and then decide if I still needed them or not. So I have a fully finished basement. It's like 1,100 square feet. It's so much space. And down there is a huge bedroom. Part of that is a really big spare bedroom. So I started putting everything in the spare bedroom that I thought I wanted to sell for a garage sale. And then I had an unfinished storage area where I would put things that I wanted to keep, but I didn't know where to put them. And then I just had like this huge family room that I also put things that I wanted to keep, but I didn't know where I'd put them. No one ever went in the basement. So I had all of this space to myself. And that didn't count the unfinished storage area and a couple of closets. That's additional square footage. So I got the kitchen organized and I started to feel pretty good. And then I started doing my closet and my bedroom, like these spaces I've already talked to you about, the family and communal spaces and all my personal spaces. This is what I got through, including organizing the kids, in the first 4 months of organizing my house. And then we got to April. And I had already said I was going to have a garage sale, and I was going to have a garage sale in the beginning of April. Like, I set the date all the way back in February, knowing that I needed a date in order to get all this stuff gone. So I went in the basement to look at the things that I had picked to go in a garage sale. And I am not kidding you. When I went in this basement bedroom that is very large, the piles were up to my shoulders everywhere. You couldn't even walk in the room because I had just filled the room. It was like we were moving. It was ridiculous. So I did sell all of that stuff or take it to Goodwill. And that was a couple weeks of my life. And, you know, have a garage sale, don't have a garage sale. I earned a couple $100. We needed the couple $100. I had the garage sale. I don't have garage sales now because I'd rather have 2 weeks of my life than do a garage sale. But for many, many years, I did have garage sales. They don't make great money, but they make some money. So as long as you take everything to a donation station when you're done, it will work. I also had a different section of the basement where I had things that I thought were of value that I could sell on eBay or I could sell them on Craigslist. And this was, remember, 10 years ago. So what you could sell and what you could get money for changes over time. But I did that as well. So for the, you know, that whole summer, I was selling items like that that I could get more money from, because decluttering and organizing my house was also partly bringing back money that we had already spent. So one, you're going to have storage areas like that spare bedroom where you're putting things that you know you don't want them, but you know they have value and you need the money and you're going to figure out how to sell them before you get rid of them. So you kind of need a storage area like that, a place where you could put things that you're going to sell if you're going to sell, but But please, please, please give yourself a deadline like I did. I gave myself a deadline for the garage sale, and then I gave myself a deadline by the end of the summer for anything I was going to list and sell on Craigslist and eBay. So 8 months into my organizing journey, by the end of the first 4 months, I'd had the garage sale. By the end of the second 4 months, I had sold everything on eBay and on Craigslist. And I'd been through the 100-day program twice at that point, and then I was headed into it in the fall. I didn't know it was the 100-day program at the time because I hadn't, you know, I was living it. Now I'm telling you in hindsight what it looked like. And if you want to read the story of how I did that, you could go and get the book, Organization is a Learnable Skill. It's available on Audible or Kindle or on Amazon as a paperback. So that's my 2012 story. The first kind of storage is your laundry room garage storage, which is transient, on its way in, on its way out storage. You will always have that no matter what. The second kind is this when you're in the very first time of truly getting organized, not just having like a decluttering weekend where you're going to feel lighter and then slip into the same old habits. No, you are on your path of learning the skill of organization. You're going to take back your whole house. You're not going to live this way anymore. You're going to get rid of a significant amount, but because you're doing this as if it's your job right now, and there's such a large quantity of things that you're probably getting rid of, that if you choose to make money from that, you need a place to store these things before you can actually turn around and sell them. I highly encourage you to give yourself a limited amount of time. And then there's the third category of storage. And this is the one that when you get the system in place correctly, will maintain for 20, 30, 40, 50 years. I'm not kidding you. It totally works. Totally works. So inside of the Productive Home Solution, this is what historically has been called the From Hot Mess to Organized Storage course. It's a 28-day course. And then we have a couple weeks inside of the 100-day program. I'm going to pull into what will soon be the storage course in the fall about how to get all of your storage organized. Here's what you find in a shed, in an attic, in a basement storage, or in an offsite storage that you don't find in a garage or a spare bedroom. And it is all of the things that you are saving, either just in case or because they have sentimental memories and you want to save them. So these spaces, a shed is the least likely to be organized this way, but it could be. All of these are like, I want you to totally have a different organizational mindset when you walk in a storage space. I'm going to say from here on out, I'm talking about a basement storage area. But if yours is an attic or a shed or an offsite storage, whatever is your storage area, if you celebrate Christmas, wherever you put your Christmas tree, if you wrap gifts, wherever you put the gift wrap, if you don't have a craft storage area, if you travel, this is where you put the luggage. If you save things that are like for decorating that you're not decorating with now, picture frames, and what else would be in this area? Crafts, memory items, rarely used large purchases, like for me would be my KitchenAid mixer and the things I need to make a turkey. Anything household paint or renovation related, furniture you're not using but you don't want to get rid of yet, kids' toys that they've outgrown or are going to grow into but you aren't using currently, childhood memories, those kinds of things. These are the kinds of things I'm talking about. You may not have all of these categories, and you may have solutions for some of these categories in the living areas of your house. But if your house isn't as big as your living is right now, it'll end up in storage. So this is what ends up in your storage room. When you are in your storage room, you have to have a completely different mindset about how to organize this than you would in, say, a kitchen, a bedroom, a closet, a bathroom. Like when you walk into a kitchen, you would expect to find kitchen things there. Now, for a period of time, I also had all of my home office things in my kitchen, but I still had kitchen things in there too. In my kids' bedrooms, when they moved out, I turned it into my home office, but I also had overflow of things that they still had there until Joey got his own place. You can repurpose spaces in your house for different things, but often there'll be a remnant there of what the space was originally for. And usually when you take a child's bedroom and you make it a home office, you don't make it 27 things. You make it a home office, or you make it a game room, or you make it a guest bedroom. A storage room literally is like a store. You should think of it as a store instead of thinking of it as a room in your house. And when you think of it as a store, you're going to think of it completely differently than you would any other room in your house. And that's exactly how it should function. This is like your on-demand, already paid for store that you're storing things in for when you need it. And if you don't store it, then you would go to a store and buy it, or you'd do without. And if you do store it, you should be able to know where to get it when you want it, because it's a store. It's not a room. It's storage. So think of it as a store. So what I have historically told people to do, and so many of you, like over 1,000 of you have done this, Home Depot should know that I'm telling you to do this. When I was in-home professionally organizing, I decided that we were going to use the HDX brand of ventilated plastic shelving in any storage area that we organized. And the reason why I use this same plastic shelving every single place, and why I recommend you use it as well, is for so many reasons. Number one, it is really lightweight. So it's easy for me as a woman, and it's compact, to get it in my car and to get it into a client's house or to get it in my own house. Secondly, it is plastic. So it can go in a cold garage in the northern part of the United States. It can go in a hot garage in the southern part of the United States. It can go into a really hot attic, or it can go into a really cold cellar. It doesn't matter. This plastic is fine in sub-zero temperatures. Well, I shouldn't say that. I haven't had it in sub-zero temperatures, but I've had it in, you know, garages in Ohio that are unheated when I organized a whole daycare center. And I've had it in really hot attics in like Texas and Florida. So I know that it goes in any of those spaces and the plastic is not going to degrade. The second reason I really like this plastic shelving is because you can assemble it in all the way up so that it is 5 shelves high, or you can assemble it in sections. So you just have like 2 shelves and 2 shelves and 2 shelves. And why I love that is because when you're organizing in an attic, you can get multiple layers of bins, but you don't have to do a 5 shelf high bookshelf because you often don't have that much space when you're in an attic. So it's lightweight, it's good in hot and cold, and it can be made into small shelves or really tall shelves, depending on what kind of space you have. If you remember all the way back to my old storage in the first place that we shipped out of for Organize 365, we had these shelving units in place of where we have the black steel shelving now. And we actually made them higher than 5 shelves high. And we put empty bins on the top. So you can make it really tall if you want to as well. Now, the reason why I love this plastic shelving instead of just getting bins and stacking bins is because if it's a store, remember it's a store, when you go down into your store, you want to be able to take off a bin, get what you need, and put the bin back on the shelf, right? Just like a store. But if you just have stacked bins, even if they're the same size and they stack really nicely in your storage area, you have to take 3 off in order to get that one, and then you put them back up, and it's just a lot of lifting. And it's kind of like when you're organizing and you have to open a cabinet door, and you don't open the cabinet door, so you just put the thing on the counter because it's, I don't know, it's not too much work, but it's like another step. So like, yeah, I'll put it away later. I'm just going to put it on the counter. But if there was no cabinet door, you'd just put it up on the shelf. Same thing in your storage. If you could just pull off a bin, put in or out whatever you need, and put the bin back on the shelf, you are, I don't know, probably 10 times more likely to do it than if you have to pull 3 bins down and then get the middle one and then stack them. You already know. You're agreeing with me right now because I'm exhausted just thinking about it, and I'm sitting in a chair right now. I'm like, you mean I have to go down into the cold basement and move heavy bins and then add one? No, you're already out. Now you just set the thing in the laundry room and you don't even take it downstairs, right? This is what we do. This is how we live. So when you set up shelving, and I like the HDX shelving units. They use the same exact bins, buy the bins right where you buy the shelving so that they fit on the shelves. They come 24 inches deep or 36 inches deep. I always get the 36 inches deep so that I could put the bins right on the shelves. 2 bins with lids fit perfectly side by side. I love that all the bins match. We still, in the Organize 365 warehouse, I think we have 200 of these bins. Everything in our warehouse is kitted on these bins. And when we stopped using the plastic shelving, we just went to a... It's not a Home Depot brand. I think it's a Hefty brand. I don't know, of the metal shelving. And now we're moving over into the orange pallet shelving when we outgrow Home Depot. But you will never be able to go in your storage room again and not think about it as a store. Now that I have that image in your head, I want you to think about your attic, shed, basement storage. It's not a store, is it? It is not a store you would shop at. It is a store where inventory has been left, some is broken, it's mismatched, you don't know where to find it. So once you get the plastic shelving and you get the bins, then your job is to create a category for every single bin. And the beautiful thing about this, and this is why once you do it, it will stay organized for like 50 years, is because you can have 20 Christmas bins or you can have one Christmas bin. You can have 20 bins for clothes the kids have outgrown, or you can have one single memory bin. You can have three different bins for all your decor and picture frames and things that you're not using that you might use in the future, or you can have 500. It doesn't matter. This system will perfectly scale up and down as you have different passions and different amounts of things that you're organizing. Also, these plastic bins that I tell you to use, I don't know how big they are, but they're pretty easy for anyone to maneuver. I know in our warehouse, when they're full of like the packets that we put inside of the binders, they could get up to 40 pounds, which is pretty heavy. At home, I don't think I have any that are 40 pounds. 40 pounds is quite a lot of weight, but you can move that. If it's like 300 pounds, you can't. Like some things get too big. These are nice to carry on both sides if you're carrying upstairs or downstairs. So how I have my storage organized is I have a bin for each season. So Easter has a bin and Halloween has a bin. And I think I have four active Christmas bins and then four storage Christmas bins. They're like memory type Christmas stuff that I don't put out anymore, but I want to keep. I have like three bins of things that I saved from when the kids were babies that I wanted to have when I'm a grandma. It's interesting. Now that I'm a grandma, I have these like little people from when I was a kid. They're like 50 years old. And I'm like, well, they're not child appropriate anymore. Like they could choke on them. So am I really going to save this until Grayson is like 3 years old and not putting things in his mouth? Probably not. Like my little people house is all rusted. The little hinges are all rusted. Like this is just not how things are made anymore. So I might get rid of those now. No joke, I think I have 10 bins of Legos from Joey. I am keeping those. I will tell you that. And so once you have this storage system set up, anything that can fit in a bin, you just put in a bin. And then we put our luggage right on this shelving at the top without any bins in it. And then anything that's bigger than that, you get different storage for. So that is how I suggest that you organize storage spaces. Now you may say, I've listened to this whole podcast. I don't have a basement. I don't have a shed. I live in a small apartment. What am I supposed to do? You need to have storage. Like get one plastic shelving unit and put it in the corner of your bedroom or put it wherever, like, and then make these bins and have them for whatever you need to store or don't have storage. But it's okay to have a plastic shelving unit with 10 bins on it in the corner of a room and call that your storage. Put it behind one of those cute little room divider things, put curtains on it, or don't, whatever. Where else are you going to put this stuff? You could put it under your bed. There are other creative solutions you could come for storage. But as long as you think of storage as your store, you are trying to shop for things that you're not currently using with money that you have already spent versus you can't find things, so you have to go to a store and you need to buy things with new money. Okay, so we've taken care of storage areas that happen because of transiency. Things are coming in, things are going out. Storage areas that happen because we are holding on to things for a specific project, like selling them. Another thing would be like holding on to things because you're going to have a graduation party or a wedding or something else. Like there are storage areas. I right now have a storage area of where I'm keeping all the photos before I do Grayson's baby book. And that is a drawer that I put all of the storage in. So that's a storage area. The third one is storing things like a store with money that you've already paid for. And then the last one is going to be storing things because you like the thing because it reminds you of the memory. And it may not remind other people of the memory, but it reminds you of the memory. And you want to keep this thing until either you have stored the memory some other way in your body, or the thing no longer reminds you of the memory. So that could be baby clothing, that could be furniture, that could be something that you have from people who have passed away. It could be things that you're saving from a life experience you either had or hoped to have, but you haven't had. Like, so for me, that would have been like all the infertility paperwork and things like that about when I was hoping that I would be a mother. And I am a mother through adoption, but not through birth. And so eventually all of those things that were stored in my storage room left. I used to have in my storage room everything related to my teaching career because I wanted to go back and be a preschool teacher again. Instead, I teach adults now. And so that was really hard for me to get rid of those things, but they were in storage for a long time. Same thing. You could keep every single thing you want. I never tell you to get rid of things that you're not ready to get rid of. So I like to store those the same exactly way that you store things in your store. So plastic bin, these are all the things related to my brother who passed away. Another plastic bin, these are all the things related to this career I don't have that I might have again. And for me, that would have been like 10 bins. And every time you go through your storage area, and you'll start to like it. Once your storage is organized like a store, then it's not so overwhelming you don't even know what to do. Then when you walk in your storage room, you're like, okay, I'm going to organize household decorations. I'm going to organize travel supplies. I'm going to organize memories. And you can chunk out going through those different parts of your storage area. Now, as an in-home professional decorator, Carol and I would always, always, always start in the storage room when we were going to organize an entire house. The homeowner was like, do we start in the kitchen? We're like, no, we'll be starting in the storage room. And they're like, you know, overwhelmed by their storage room. They didn't want to start in their storage room. We're like, trust us. We have to start in your storage room because number one, you're storing a lot of empty boxes. You'll be surprised how many empty boxes you have. So we can get rid of those very quickly. And then we need to decide what in here you still want and what you don't so we can make space for the store that we're going to move everything else in the entire house that you are not using right now, but you're not ready to part with into this organized storage space and everything goes so much better, faster, and easier. Why I don't start you in the storage space and why I started you in your personal organizing and then your family and communal organizing is because I told you at the beginning, the storage room is hidden. And when it's hidden, you can leave it to the end. So because you can leave it to the end and no one's going to see it, then it's kind of weighing on you that your storage spaces are not organized, but it's not weighing on your family or anyone who comes into your house or anyone who might make you feel judged even though they're not judging you. You feel the judgment anyway. The other reason I leave it to after your personal and your family and communal spaces is because 99% of your life in your home is spent in your kitchen, in your bedroom, in your transportation, in your purse back, and like, you rarely go in your storage spaces. You may walk by them, you may think about them, they may weigh on you, but they're not really, you get up, you get dressed, you get ready, you get your coffee, you leave, you come back, you have dinner, you read a book, you go to bed. You're not in your storage space. So when you are done organizing your personal and family and communal, or you have a nice chunk of time where you can really dive into that storage space, your organizational muscles and your mindset muscles are much stronger after you've organized yourself personally and the spaces of your house that you use every single day, which are your family and communal spaces. You're then ready to say, okay, well, here I am in the storage room. Everything in here has been down here for like 18 years. Clearly, I'm not using it. Of the day that I normally have and the spaces that I'm already using, anything in here going to improve my quality of life? Is anything in here easily added into my kitchen, my family room, my living room, my bedroom, my bathroom, my closet? And then you can more objectively say, you know what? I'm clearly living just fine without any of this stuff. So do I really need it? And then setting it up as a store so that when you need it in your personal or your family and communal spaces, you know where to go get it seasonally. So a few statistics that we had from the study that we did is that nearly two-thirds of the people that responded to our survey agreed that they felt underappreciated for the time they took to create home organization systems. And if you don't feel appreciated for creating the systems in your house, you're really not going to want to create them in storage areas because no one's going to see them. No one. Like, I think Greg's been in the basement twice in the last 20 years, and both times it was under duress. I was like, no, 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 you have to come down and see this. And he was like, fine. And he acted like we had to go like 1,900 miles for whatever it was I asked. I was like, no, it's in the basement. You know, it's part of the house that we live in. So if you want people to be like, oh my gosh, this is so great that you organized this storage area, no one's going to do that. So it needs to be more of an internal, like, I feel better about organizing my space this way. So I know what I have. I can retrieve it when I need it. I'm keeping what I want and not too much. And this is a gift that you give to yourself. The other statistic that came out was that 68% of people said they often get sidetracked when they're in the middle of organizing their home. I'm raising my hand. Who doesn't? I would like to meet the 32% of people that don't get sidetracked when they're in the middle of organizing their home. Like, wow, that is some major discipline. I get sidetracked when I'm organizing my home. And the reason why I throw this statistic out to you in the home storage organization spaces is because it's awesome. It's so awesome when you have a weekend where you could pull everything out of your garage, clean it out, and put it back together. But that happens, what, maybe once a year? Maybe. It's just not really realistic. And we have a lot of storage spaces. Like I've already mentioned, a garage, a spare bedroom, a basement, a laundry room. Like there's the front hall closet. There's lots of storage areas in our house. So instead of saying, oh, I need to find a whole weekend where I could pull everything out, we need to learn to give ourselves the permission to just organize the storage space a little bit at a time. If you go in your storage space and find 5 empty boxes and take them out, that's a win. If you go in your storage space and you're like, you know what? I am never going to, whatever, make press cookies from scratch and I could get rid of the cookie cutters and everything that went along with that and get that out of your storage area, it's a win. Your storage area is the place that you literally could spend 15 to 30 minutes a day for the entire summer, which is when I usually do it. Summer is a great time to organize that. Also, the last couple weeks of the year are a great time to organize your storage because if you celebrate Christmas like I do, a lot of your storage area is on display. So you have more room in the storage area. And both in the summer and on that last couple weeks of the year, I love to have that time to myself in the basement, away from everyone. You know, all the noises of the house are kind of drowned out by being in the basement. I like to turn on movies. Now I do it on my phone. I used to take a portable DVD player down there and play some of my favorite movies and just get lost in it. And it's like a jigsaw puzzle in there. You need to give yourself a good chunk of time. This is why I'm so excited that this is going to become a focus of the Productive Home Solution. You literally can say, okay, this next round, I am just focusing on storage areas because it could take you a whole 120 days to truly get your biggest storage area decluttered, organized, that shelving put in, the bins labeled, all of it. Like it takes quite a lot of time and you need to give yourself that permission. So remember, when we did this study, we found out that 87% of people believe that organization is a learnable skill. And of those same people, only 13% had organization systems in their storage areas. And that was the lowest. The highest was only 18%. So 18 to 13% of people in any of these areas felt like they had the systems. So if you're listening to this, you're like, oh, yeah, I've got so much work to do. We all have some... What? We all have so much work to do. Don't worry about it. We're just going to eat this elephant one bite at a time. Now you know storage areas are meant to be like stores. So if when you put things in a storage area, think to yourself, am I going to want this in the future? Is this something I would go and buy at a store, but I'm saving it now so I don't have to pay for it later? So if you're putting something down there like I did, when I put my really expensive stereo system that I bought with my babysitting money when I was 16 years old, and then it broke when I was 34 years old, and I put it in my storage, what was I thinking? That I'm miraculously going to figure out how to fix over 20-year-old stereo system when I want to use it in my 40s? No is the answer to that. Like, eventually what I did was like 4 or 5 years later when I was organizing my storage area. And every time I saw it, I was like, oh yeah, I spent all my babysitting money on that. All my babysitting money on that. Hello, I live in a house now with children, with jobs. Like,
that just because it was a huge purchase I made when I was 16 years old doesn't mean I have to look at it in my storage room broken every time I go in there. So I lugged that thing. And of course, it's heavy because it's from like the 80s. And I carried it upstairs piece by piece and put it in the trash and felt guilty the whole time. Should have just done that 4 years prior. Why was I flagging myself for 4 years every time I saw that? I was never going to fix it. Stop putting broken things in your storage area. You're not going to fix it. Just take the loss and just get rid of it as soon as you know that it's broken, unless you do know how to fix it. Now, interesting thing. When Joey was little, he loved to take things apart. And so I would go to Goodwill or I would go to the resale shops and I would buy like toasters and stuff so he could unscrew them and figure out how they worked. So you can donate that stuff to Goodwill, or you could, if you know anybody who has got a kid that's like 5 to 15 and they like to take things apart, hey, you want to figure out how stereo's made? You take my broken stereo apart. Not to fix it, but they love to see how things are made inside. So anyway, just a little side note there. All right, that's what I've got for you in storage areas. Yeah, another thing I put in storage areas, I always put out-of-date technology. I'm like, the CDs can go in storage, the VHS tapes, the DVDs. As technology progresses, we don't go backwards. We don't go backwards. So everything's streamed now. You can go ahead and get rid of those things. That is all I have for you on storage. Next week, we are going to talk about organizing paper. You know I've been talking about organizing paper for a long time, but now we're going to pull this out in the Productive Home Solution and really make a plan for spending one of your 120 days on getting your paper organized.